The Fed Health Identity podcast series is brought to you by Okta. In each episode, we will be speaking directly with current and former government leaders and influencers about the best IT strategies to drive mission success for federal health agencies. Throughout this campaign, we will also be shining a light on top government executives and programs that can serve as IT playbooks for success for any agency. For our second episode of the Fed Health Identity podcast series, we are speaking with Dr. Himanshu Singh, who is the Director of Medical Informatics at DSS and has had an 18-year career at the Department of Veterans Affairs, with his last 8 years in leadership roles. His most recent assignment was the COO/Associate Director at both the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System and West Palm Beach VA. And in part two of this two-part podcast series, Dr. Singh again is joined with Michael Giroux, the Federal Healthcare Manager/Sales Manager at Okta. And both Dr. Singh and Michael will be discussing how COTS-based solutions can help the VA, the current EHRM program, and what the future holds for the VA when it comes to innovation. And if you guys don't mind, let's switch on over and talk about how COTS-based solutions can help really with this overall massive transition, if you will, both for patients and clinicians. And, you know, maybe we'll start with Michael first on the patient side of things.
Okay. Yeah, super. I think, you know, being in the COTS vendor community and working with Okta, you know, we see a huge standardization being led across cloud and cloud-delivered technologies. And I think there's a statistic from, it was called, the publication was the Managed Healthcare Executive. And there was a statistic they found that 94% of healthcare executives reported the pace of innovation at their organization has significantly accelerated over the past 3 years. And I think, you know, you can directly attribute that to the acceleration in innovation across industry, especially as it relates to SaaS and cloud and COTS solutions. And, you know, along with that, I think there's been a huge focus in healthcare in taking advantage of APIs to drive a unified digital experience for the patient. And in our case, you know, we're talking about the VA, the veteran experience. And standardizing on APIs is, I think, the backbone of IT modernization across the board, but specifically in healthcare. And the API that's really driving that standardization is Smart on Fire, FHIR. And that's not just in private healthcare. The VA has been in lockstep with industry in utilizing APIs to drive modernization strategies. And, you know, they even created an office, a line of business specific to this effort, which is the API Program Management Office. And they have been extremely successful. There are, you know, some of the most brilliant minds that I've come across ever leading that mission. And, you know, one example of their work is VA's successful partnership with Apple. And Apple, anybody who has an iOS device has the, you know, Apple Health app preloaded on their device. The day they buy it and turn it on, there it is. And VA in partnership with Apple was able to launch the integration of VA's patient healthcare data and records, which is really the first modern application within one modern application that's been released from the VA that brings together, you know, a very disparate collection of veteran healthcare records and presents them to the veteran in one unified digital experience. That can't be done without really utilizing and standardizing on those APIs and knowing that business and really having great success and doing that. So all of that is to say, to go back to your question, I think, of how COTS is transforming healthcare, you know, you see best of breed technologies, and the adoption of best of breed technologies is the only way today to drive forward any organization's IT strategy or IT transformation mission. And certainly the days of the, you know, here's my stack and I got to make the stack work, and, you know, we're just going to try to keep pace with the upgrades that are released from the vendor, and we're going to kind of stick to that stack. Those days are gone, right? So there's way too many companies out there that are driving forward modernization across all enterprises with SaaS. And, you know, I'm, as a CIO today, if I were a CIO today, you know, I'm going to use the best technologies that drive my mission. I'm not going to be handcuffed to one, you know, one stack. Here's a stack for this business and here's a stack for that business. It's I can use anything I want. And the cloud has leveraging the cloud has really been the only way that's been delivered, and which is raised certainly in the federal business. I mean, we've seen that from the White House on down, just with the mandate of cloud adoption and different cloud strategies. I mean, it's proliferating. Nobody can keep pace in any industry today without adopting the best technologies that are available to them. And anybody who tries to probably is not going to be in a job very long.
Awesome. Great insights. Dr. Singh, would love your take on the COTS side of things.
Yeah, and I appreciate saying Michael is spot on, but I'm going to be a little selfish here and kind of talk about it from a physician's point of view. You know, I want to go back within the VA. Now, VA is, you know, came up with this medical record mid-90s. It started piloting and bringing up on. Over time, now imagine that over time, as that has matured and grown, VA physicians and clinicians and clinical care providers, nurses, PAs, NPs, all everybody who's providing care to that veteran, they got excited about it and they wanted to start having, you know, specialty specific or disease specific ability to better manage their patients. And I believe, you know, in general, in EMR, it's not, I believe, now this is my opinion, don't shoot me for it, I don't think all EMRs are really built to be very intuitive to that level of care where you're looking at disease specific or service specific, meaning for cardiologists. Therefore, over time, VA has adopted a lot of commercial off the shelf to complement its physicians in providing outstanding care for our veterans and patients. And they have gotten used to it, and it's tied to efficiency, it's tied to outcomes. We know that. So therefore, I believe that the role of COTS products is tremendous. And as the VA is moving to this new EMR transformation, we have to be very cognizant of that. DSS itself over, you know, we have 70 plus applications. We have applications right now just with this pandemic that responded, you know, right away with it. For example, our Theradox solution with our partner Premier. We were able to rapidly adopt that infectious disease platform to start tracking and surveilling COVID-19 patients. We have another tool, VA Change, because of the influx of ability to provide care. One of our solutions, you know, they started utilizing chaplain service to provide reaching out to veterans who have anxiety or other behavioral health issues. We have another solution that can complement that, like suicide prevention manager. So what I'm saying is that we have to be very respectful from a physician who have gotten used to having that commercial off the shelf to complement that EMR as we transition, as we move in to a modernization EMR efforts, that we don't lose sight of that. So that's what I want to add. And I really believe that having COTS solution is healthy for any EMR, whether it's VA or Epic or Cerner, or any other.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a great point, Dr. Singh. Let me just say one thing. I mean, we should probably never lose sight of really the foundation of what Veteran Affairs was started to do, was provide, you know, quality health care for our nation's heroes. And that really all comes back to the physicians being able to provide that highest quality of care. So, Dr. Singh, thank you for that perspective. I mean, really, we should always bring it back to that.
Yeah, I agree, Michael. That was outstanding. And let's actually dive in a little bit more into the current EHRM program. And Dr. Singh, from your perspective, how can the VA best manage this new program transition without disrupting patient care and, of course, clinician workflows?
Right. And I think it's a good thing, Matt, that the VA is undertaking. Because every now and then you have to look at it. Do I have the best system? Do I have the best, you know, medical record that is meeting the demand of today, right? It's a tough thing when you have 150 plus medical center. I mean, it's a large healthcare ecosystem within the VA. So while that effort is a positive one of the things, as you mentioned, we don't want to lose sight of having a negative impact in patient care. So therefore, I believe that we have to be focused, because remember, the VA has also been in parallel trying to do a lot of standardization that we talked about earlier, right? So how do we, during this transition, make sure that it doesn't have, you know, creates a stoppage of the standardization effort. We want to make sure that they're both moving in the right parallel direction forward. The other thing is, when you're talking about 100 and 131 Vista instances, it's like having 131 different databases that do not communicate with each other. When you're going to a new EMR platform, it becomes critical that that is also a focus point, because that standardization is going to tie in to how the physician's workflow and how we do that education and training in moving to this new EMR. Because the lack of that is going to cause a lot of, you know, on the back end, a lot of anxiety. It's going to cause a lot of delays. It's going to have a lot of breakage between how physicians are interacting with that patient. So that's something else we need to be very focused on. So moving to that centralized database, data center becomes an utmost priority. And then that standardization requires necessary attention, and moving to a new EMR will require that the approach is streamlined. Because if you don't have a streamlined approach, it's going to cause, you know, breakage. And how do you transform that? How do you activate that? And also, I think the other thing that we were talking about earlier was the COTS, right? What we're moving to most EMR systems in the private sector outside the federal healthcare, they're basically an acute inpatient model, right? VA is the only healthcare ecosystem that has everything underneath one umbrella. What do I mean by that? I mean, you have acute inpatient going on, you have outpatient going on, you have pharmacy within the same umbrella, you have dentistry, you have PT, OT, you have prosthetics, you have, you know, audiology. I believe I mentioned dentistry. Everything is under one ecosystem. So therefore, that interoperable approach for a new EMR, I'm going to be honest, it's a daunting task. And I don't know how people think that it's like turning on a light switch and everything's going to work magically. That's not going to happen. That's the reality of it. So how do we ensure that, let's focus on, even when, if you go back, when our computerized patient record, CPRS, was set up, they didn't put everything all together at once. You have the basic note-taking capability, you know, the basic medical record. Then you expand it to surgical. Then you expand it to radiology. You expand it to pharmacy. And then all of that over time really matured into what was then became CPRS system. And I think we need to be very cognizant of that. As we're moving to this transformation, let's focus in on what, you know, the EMR that VA is moving towards, which is Cerner. Their model is acute inpatient. All right, make sure we get that working. While it's working, we don't impact the other COTS applications that are there. And because, remember, the physicians and that patient care is dependent on it. Because if you stop that, you're going to impact the clinician's workflow. Now that clinician doesn't have that, so it's going to impact delay in care. It's going to possibly impact patient outcome and patient care. So what I really believe that the VA EHRM office that was set up to make sure that all of that transition and this activation happens without impact to clinical work, without impact to clinical workflow, without impact to patient care and patient outcome. So really, you know, what I'm hoping and I'm praying that happens is that EHRM office is really looking at what are those best of breed COTS solutions that are maybe, you know, being done in 20 or 30 different ways. And how do we pick that best of breed solution and standardize it through this EMR transformation and have it integrated? Now, some of that work has already begun. We have 3 or 4 applications within DSS, like the Dental Record Manager and 2 or 3 other applications that are going to become of an integrated solution with Cerner. That's a good thing. I think more events like that needs to happen so that we do our best to mitigate any negative impact to patient care. So finally, you know, as I mentioned, there needs to be a parallel and partnered approach. We need to continue in our efforts to provide outstanding care to our veterans, and we can never lose sight of mitigating any risk that impacts safe, quality patient care delivery for our veterans and organization. Because at the end of the day, as Michael, you and I both have been talking about, it's about that veteran. It's about that care to our veterans. And we never want to take a step forward that can make us take 10 steps backward.
Excellent. Now let's shift and talk about future opportunities. So from your perspective, what are the future opportunities for the VA when it comes to innovation? And we'll start with Dr. Singh on that.
Well, one of the things that we need to, I think every conference that I've been to, well, I know right now everybody's quarantined at home with the pandemic, but you know, when we were out and about and going to conferences, there's been a big focus on clinical decision support models of care, right? The CDS, utilizing AI and analytics to drive predictive and precision medicine. And VA has really been embracing that and saying, you know what? There is an opportunity here in moving towards that predictive model of care. And but the goal is, if you've watched a lot of, read a lot of the literature and watched some news, and it is great. Artificial intelligence is great, but you got to know, where does it make sense and how do we best utilize it? And I think that's the journey that VA is in right now, to better understand it and where is it is going to be have productive outcome. Another, you know, aspect of it was during the crisis, during this pandemic, it has totally changed how we're practicing medicine. There are some healthcare ecosystems that were ready for it, like the VA, and we adapted to it through virtual care, telecare, and we were able to rapidly respond and take care of veterans. There are others that struggled. I'll tell you my own, you know, where I get my private healthcare. It took them a while to get them ramped up to be able to provide telecare. There's a system, my brother-in-law, and I won't mention them, the hospital they work for, but it took them, my brother-in-law and sister, a while to get set up with their telecare initiatives. So I think, you know, what this pandemic has taught us is that we are going to have to look at non-traditional ways to utilize virtual care and telecare in the practice of medicine. So I think that's going to be an area of focus, along with, you know, what I talked about with the AI, artificial intelligence, the clinical decision support, moving towards that predictive medicine, precision medicine. But there are certain other things that I think that there has been a huge focus both by the private sector and the federal sectors. And I'm just going to name a couple of them. Robotics. Robotics is huge. It has been. It's been a part of the VA healthcare ecosystem since 2008 when they brought robotics into the surgery. The IoT. IoT has become huge. Internet of Things. It's being used in different platforms. It's one that we're also adapting within DSS. 3D bioprinting. Blockchain. I think blockchain is another one. How do we utilize it within a healthcare ecosystem? I think it's been a great success within the financial industry, right? But how does it make sense? You know, we're looking at blockchain from us, you know, utilizing within the supply chain model as it's being done in the private system. The other one, as I mentioned earlier, AI and machine learning. How does best fit within the modality of care that we're providing for our veterans? I'm going to just give you, I mean, this is something that I pulled off from a news article. It's predicting that the global AI market alone is projected to grow from $21.46 billion to $190.61 billion by 2025. And this is out of the University of Illinois Chicago Publishing in 2019. That's huge. That tells you the industry trend behind a lot of this technology. And I'm just glad VA is right in the mix of it, and they're trying to be ahead of that curve and utilizing these technology to provide outstanding care to our veterans.
Awesome. Well, we are at the tail end of our podcast here. This is our wrapper question, and I know we've covered off on quite a lot. This has been an amazing podcast, and it could almost be its own separate white paper. There's so much information here, which is great. And before we sign off today, I wanted to ask, was there anything else to add or anything we may have missed? And let's go with Michael for the first one here on this.
Yeah, why don't I just stick to Dr. Singh's last comment as it relates to COVID? You know, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that COVID has done anything positive. But the one thing you can see as a result of, certainly in federal healthcare, and not only VA, but at HHS, is having that strong foundation of modern technologies in place has allowed them to respond to the priority and urgency of this crisis. And, you know, we see that with HHS and, you know, from all the different operating divisions within HHS and in coordination with the White House. And, you know, they are, I don't know if they're working 23 and a half hours a day or 24 hours a day, but this is an all hands on deck situation. And without a strong foundation in cloud technologies, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So I have to give a lot of credit to our nation's leading healthcare folks that are on the task force. You know, this is, you see them on the news all the time. These are the people that are having to collaborate across certainly federal agencies, state and local governments, foreign governments, and all of that is riding the coattails of cloud and SaaS COTS technologies. And, you know, this really shines the amount of excellent work that our government's been doing in that foundational strategy and IT modernization.
Great, Michael. Thank you so much for those insights right there. Dr. Singh, any parting comments today?
First of all, thanks for this opportunity. And you know, one of the things I want to kind of reiterate, you know, healthcare and society is constantly evolving. And how do we adapt to it to ensure that we don't have any missteps? You know, things that the VA has been involved with, value-based care, high reliable organization transition, you know, a more personalized care for our veterans, a more interactive also, and some of those standardization efforts, you know, bringing in a new EMR, best of breed healthcare applications. It all ties to, you know, new protocol, new clinical pathways and treatment regimens that becomes vital. And one of the things we never want to lose sight of, we want to be practicing evidence-based clinical practice. We want evidence-based outcome. And all of that fosters environment of quality of patient care. And that translates into reducing risk and improving outcomes. I really believe with all of these efforts that VA will continue to be an industry leader in innovation, modernization, and access to care, and for our nation's heroes, our veterans. And not only that, but it also translates into a positive employee experience. So, you know, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity, and I'm just so proud for the mission of the Department of Veterans Affairs and providing outstanding and timely care for our veterans.
This concludes part two of this two-part podcast series where Dr. Himanshu Singh, Director of Medical Informatics, and Michael Giroux, Federal Healthcare Manager / Sales Manager at Okta, shared their insights into how the VA is leading the way when it comes to IT modernization for supporting mission success. Thank you for listening to this segment of the FedHealth Identity podcast series brought to you by Okta. To learn more about Okta's FedRAMP compliant cloud identity solutions that help federal agencies to accelerate modernization, please visit okta.com / solutions / government.